Welcome to Monday's edition of Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. For the last 4 weeks, we've had the privilege of hearing Brian Newman speak on the topic of music and worship. With over 16 years of experience in the rock music industry, Brian has gained insight into the power of music and now lectures worldwide on the effects of music and the mind, providing biblical principles to apply in choosing good music. Today we join Brian for his final presentation on the Voices of a Dying Planet music series. If you'd like more information on purchasing Brian's complete audio cassette series, please stay with us after the program for more details. And now, here's Brian.
Welcome once again to our Voices of a Dying Planet series. It's been quite a series. It's gone on for quite a while. In fact, I think we are in presentation number 21 already. This is our final one, though, in the series of the Voices of a Dying Planet. I will be, though, sharing some more things with you that relate to some of the issues we have been discussing. So, in a sense, I guess we could say, as we continue in our later presentations, which come after this one, that we are continuing in it, but there will be very much more biblical studies into some important Bible principles and teachings. But as far as the music one is concerned, this is the last one in this particular section. Maybe what I should do for those who are actually joining us for the first time is just to kind of whet your appetite and give you some idea as to what we've been doing over the last 20 presentations, and maybe recap very briefly for you. We started off, first of all, by looking at the language of music and how we relate to the language of music as human beings. This was a very important study because it helps us to do away with some misconceptions regarding questions about music, whether music is a neutral thing or whether it is the words in the music that are the most important and so on, and how the language of music has such a power over us as human beings. A very important study, because for us to have been able to intelligently discuss the language of music subsequently, it was vitally important that we first understand music as a language. From there we went into looking at the history behind much of the music which we are dealing with in our present day. We looked at many of the ancient pagan origins of some of the styles of music. We studied into voodoo ritual and all kinds of aspects of music in shamanic ceremonies and rituals and so on. And then we looked at the contemporary music industry. We had a look at what they themselves had to say about music. We also did a scientific medical study into how different kinds of aspects in music affect the human organism. Very important, so that we could understand what is indeed acceptable to emphasize, as it were, in our musical applications. And also to help us understand later on, as we studied, what was acceptable in the setting of worship. From there we went into, from the contemporary music industry and scene, we actually then went into the contemporary Christian music industry. And we had a look at not only the industry, but the worship. We had a look at what it is that actually leads people to acts of false worship. We tried to define who it is that decides how we worship. Then we went into the Bible and we discussed from a biblical point of view, studied some of those difficult texts that people are often using today to justify, apparently, certain forms of worship which may not necessarily be according to God's plan. That was a very, very important study. And from there we started looking at the use, in our previous program now, of musical instruments, and try to differentiate between the instruments and that which should really be the focus of worship. Because we discussed instruments and we had to get to the point where we actually dealt with the issue of instruments and found out ultimately that it is really not the instruments that are the most important aspect in worship. It really has to do with the heart, with coming to worship God. After all, we can worship Him without using any instruments at all. But the question still remained and still remains in the minds of many of the listeners, and that is, how do I choose right music? In light of everything that has been discussed so far in our presentations, how do I know whether something is right or wrong? How do I make the right choice, both in my secular listening in music and indeed in the worship situation? Is there some kind of method or program that I can use in this discerning process to choose wisely between that which is acceptable and that which may not be acceptable, taking into account of course, many of the principles that we have looked at in our presentations. And you will remember some of the principles we looked at. And the first one we did in our first presentation was the body temple principle, where Paul says that your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And he said there that he who defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we saw that it was important to realize that we don't bring things in that are destructive. These are principles we need to apply. Philippians 4 verse 8 was another one that we looked at. And indeed, in our presentation today, we are going to once again reiterate what Paul speaks of in Philippians 4 verses 8. I don't want to start off, first of all, though, by looking at the biblical definition of what constitutes the correct choices in music. That will come. But what I first of all want to do is to have a look at whether there is some practical, perhaps academic method that we can use for choosing music. Right or wrong, or discerning music, whether it be right or wrong. So let's do that first of all, and maybe pose the question, and that is there a simple academic method that will help me to discern between superior and inferior music? Number one, and these are important points, you can jot them down, write them down. Number one, this is a question you can ask yourself when you sit down to listen to a piece of music and you want to really have be exposed to music that is doing good to the body temple. Ask yourself this question: does the music really have something worthwhile to say, the music that I'm listening to? A simple question, but a very important one. In fact, in music seminaries, when they teach, they give these same principles. What I'm doing, though, is I'm attaching some biblical principles to this as well. So in other words, you can ask, is there moral substance, depth in the message of the music, lyrically and instrumentally, or is the music just simply bland, repetitious, and coarse? Does it only concentrate on those heavier aspects of music, or does it also have a lot of melody and harmony that actually stimulate one spiritually and intellectually? You'll remember the three categories in music: melody, harmony, and rhythm. They all stimulate the human brain and the human organism on a different level. Harmony stimulates us in a more intellectual level, melody on a more spiritual level, an aesthetic level, rhythm on a more physical and emotional level. That is why music that emphasizes rhythm is more often than not the music which we actually dance to. Nothing wrong with that, but remember time and place, and remember where the emphasis is placed, because you also want to be sure that you are not overemphasizing a particular emotional aspect. For example, a lot of people have questions regarding, because a lot of people use music while they're studying. And I often tell young people who are studying that, first of all, don't listen to any music while you're studying, because you are splitting the concentration of the brain. It is false to think that you can actually study better by having music in the background. That is not true. You need your focus on your studies. But by the same token, you don't want to use music, because music actually helps to stimulate and exercise, as it were, the brain and build the brain. If you are using music that concentrates purely on the physical, you are not stimulating the intellectual and spiritual part of your brain, which actually helps you in your study process. It has been shown very clearly that people who are listening to music like Mozart, that and many other classical styles, Baroque, and so on, are actually building and stimulating the intellectual part of the brain. So when you are not studying, before your studies or when you have time, listen to music that emphasizes the intellectual part of the brain, that builds that part of the brain. And they have found that it actually helps you to improve your grades, and your studying becomes far more profitable when you are exposed to music that actually stimulates you on that kind of level. So you need to ask yourself the question then, does music, the music I'm listening to, have something worthwhile to say? And the words as well, are they just basically empty words that are not really uplifting and do not conform to important biblical principles? And that's why point number two now is important to ask as well. While you are asking the question in number one, you need to say, what is the intention behind the music that I am listening to? Try and ascertain. Most of us just listen to music and say, well, it makes me feel good, so hey, that's cool, I can listen to it. It's acceptable. But stop for a moment. Do you ever sit down and actually analyze very carefully what the music is suggesting, both in the language of the music, the expression of the music itself, and in the words? What is the intention? Is it sending out a positive or negative message? Does it conform to the criteria that Paul spells out in Philippians 4 verses 8? And you will remember the text. I'll share it with you very quickly. He says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, then think on these things. Fill the mind with the things that can conform to these principles. And of course, applying the biblical definition to what these things mean. So it must conform to the principles of Scripture. Is the intention of the music just to stimulate you spiritually and intellectually, or is it just aimed mainly at the physical and the emotional level? We want to build the body temple. Yes, physical and emotions are good, but there's a time for everything. And of course, when you're looking at worship, this is an important question. In pagan worship, they always stimulated or focused on the physical. The crossroads between the physical and spiritual world is the aim of pagan worship. Whereas in Christian worship, we need to ask ourselves, when you look at the worship in heaven, it seems to be an intelligent form of worship where they recognize the God whose presence they are in. And they fall down, both in the body language and in everything they do. It shows that they realize this God is something they are not. It is conducted with reverence and awe and respect, which would suggest that worship in a Christian setting is aimed at stimulating the spiritual and intellectual. And if you want to make it really practical, that means in your music in worship to God, you will not emphasize the beat or the rhythm in music, as they do in pagan worship, but you will emphasize the melody and harmony because they stimulate the spiritual and intellectual part of the brain. You know, worship to God is an intelligent thing. It's not just based on emotion. Doctrine and teachings of Scripture, you need to intelligently understand them. The Bible is more than just worship. It is a whole teaching and doctrine which we need to understand. That is why our theology is so important. It needs to be sound and in accordance with the Word of God. So this question of what the intention is behind the music is a very important one to ask. Is it positive or negative? And does it conform to the criteria that Paul spells out in Philippians 4 verse 8? And number three, is the intention of the music that you are now analyzing and listening to being communicated effectively? In other words, does the musician who has composed a piece of music do a good job of communicating the intended atmosphere of the music? Whether it be joy, melancholy, reverence, or anger, whatever it may be, depending on the music. There are certain forms of music which are communicating the atmosphere of anger very effectively. But it's ironical when you hear the words, that the words are sometimes singing about God or about something that has nothing to do with the actual tone and atmosphere of the music. That means the musician is not doing a good job of communicating the intended atmosphere, the intended message of the music. And if somebody is using music apparently to the honor and glory of God and worship to Him, are the lyrics and the music compatible with one another while he is communicating that message? Another important question that you can ask in this academic evaluation portion, and that is, are the instruments that are being used for communicating the intention of the music, are they suitable for communicating the intention? In other words, the human voice, let's use that as an example, is an instrument. If somebody is singing about the love of God and reverence apparently to God and holiness, is he singing and using the human voice in communicating the tone or the atmosphere of that reverence effectively? Or is he shouting? And is the music itself really, the instrumentation, how really shouting at God instead of communicating reverence, awe, and respect? If the musician is trying to create, for example, flowing melodious notes, is he using an appropriate instrument for doing the job? And is he using it effectively, whether it be the human voice or any other instrument that may be used? Let's just quickly look at those four points. They're very simple, but they are very profound, and they will help you in your analyzing of music. The first one was, does the music really have something worthwhile to say? Number two, what is the intention behind the music? Number three, is the intention of the music being communicated effectively? And number four, are the instruments used suitable for communicating the message, or are they being used in a suitable way for communicating the intention of the message? Now, there are also a set of biblical principles that will enable you and me to make good choices in the area of music and worship, and of course in our secular environment as well. And maybe first of all we can go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 44 verses 23 and establish a very important biblical principle, and that is, God says here, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." In other words, there is a distinction between that which is dedicated to God and that which is dedicated to the world or to the flesh. To make a difference between the sacred and the secular. Your secular life is something which takes place in your day-to-day work and environment and experience in the world. Whereas that which is of God is distinct and separate. God speaks about his people. He says, "You are a peculiar people, a royal treasure, a royal priesthood. To come out of the world was the call, to be separate, although you are in the world, but to show distinctly in your experience and relationship with God that you are not of the world." So to bring that which is secular into the worship of God is not appropriate. The principle of Scripture teaches that there must be a distinction between that which is brought to God and that which is in the world, because that invariably, the things of the world are dedicated to the world and normally are tainted with sin and defilement of the flesh and of human nature. Whereas those things that are dedicated to God are dedicated to him and are used within the framework that he has given, because he has shown us and told us in his word what is holy and how we are to use holy things. So this is a very, very important principle to take into account. It doesn't either mean that the music that you use in your secular listening must conform to the same criteria and principles as the music in worship. Let's make that clear as well. There are certain atmospheres that would be appropriate for my secular listening that I would not use in worship to God. There is placing the distinction between that which is sacred and secular. There's a time for secular. For example, if you had a romantic evening with your wife at home, you wouldn't be expected to play sacred hymns to create the right atmosphere. That would be ridiculous. You can use an atmosphere of music that is different, that may suggest romance. You may have certain instruments and more an approach to music which may be a little different when you have people around for dinner and so on. You don't need sacred music. There needs to be a distinction between the two. But at the same time, while you are exercising that freedom of taste in the different environments and places where you are experiencing life from day to day, you will not leave God out of the equation. And bear in mind as well that taste is important. Your taste may not be identical to everybody else's, but although it may not be identical, there is a certain framework within which we can all function by using the academic principles we've looked at and applying, of course, some other important biblical principles we'll look at in a moment. So you will not leave God out of the equation completely. You will remember, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And remember as well that whatsoever you do, as Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 31, you do to the glory of God. So you are a Christian 24 hours a day. And you will not, for example, say, "Well, hey, when I'm in church, I can listen to music that is reverent and sing hymns, but when I'm in my secular life, I can blow my brains out with heavy metal, thrash and punk." Because that is destructive to the body temple. So you still recognize that your body is the temple of God. And here finally are some very essential elements in choosing music. Number one, allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide in all the choices you make. You cannot do this on your own. Pure human wisdom and an academic application of what is good and bad music is not enough. You must allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide in the choices you make. And the only way to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and know where God is leading you is to spend lots of time in prayer and communication with God. In other words, have a relationship with God. Present your problems, your music, and everything in your life to God and say, "Lord, guide me in the decisions I make." Use the Bible. Test the spirits as well. Don't just listen to any voice that comes up in your mind, because not every voice comes from God. It may be your own voice and desires that are speaking to your mind. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you and study the Bible and pray to God and ask him for guidance. If we use these principles, if we apply them with the power of God to guide us, the Lord will lead us to the right conclusion. God does not leave his children in darkness. If you truly desire to do what is right, God will give you the ability to do the right thing. He will guide you and he will give you the strength. We have gone through a long series of presentations. For those of you who have not been here and heard all the previous ones, I suggest that you contact Amazing Discoveries and find out from them where you can get all the information. There's a video series available of these seminars as well, so that you will not miss out on everything and not misunderstand some of the things and thoughts that I have been sharing in perhaps only one or two of the presentations that you have heard. I thank you for your time, and it's been wonderful being able to share these very important things with you. My prayer is that God will bless you, that God will keep you, and continue to join me as we continue, because we are not finished yet. We're going to join together again in our next presentation, where we're going to do some very important studies into Scripture that are indeed connected to a lot of what we have looked at in our studies here so far. Thank you very much, and God bless, and goodbye.
Well, thank you, Brian, for this amazing series on music. I know that I've gained a lot from these past few weeks as we've taken a look at this powerful language called music. When you see the history behind the music and the musicians themselves openly talking about the industry, it opens your eyes to a bigger picture of where a lot of this music intends to guide us. Is the music we're listening to keeping us on the straight and narrow, or is it leading us in another direction? If you'd like an audio cassette of this message, please send $7 Canadian to Amazing Discoveries. Be sure to mention today's date when you call toll-free at 1-866-572-9457. We are also pleased to offer the complete 11-tape audio series that you've heard over the last few weeks for a special price of $54.99 Canadian plus shipping and applicable taxes. If you've missed a few messages, or maybe you have a few friends that are interested in the subject of music, purchase Brian's music series on cassette by calling 1-866-572-9457. You may also visit us on our website by going to www.amazingdiscoveries.org, where you can purchase through our online catalog or listen to any of our previous radio programs. If you'd like to write to us, please address your letters to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. And for those in the U.S., please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. Before we go, we'd just like to say thank you for listening today, and hope that if you've been edified with this music series, that maybe you could just give us a call and make known your support. We appreciate the feedback and welcome your prayers and donations for this ministry. Call us toll-free at 1-866-572-9457. I'm Jason Hernberg, and would just like to say thank you once again to Brian Newman for his presentations on music. Tomorrow, Brian changes the subject from music and begins to take a look at the Bible and the Christian faith. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tomorrow. Hour of
God's grace thy rock be saved thus far and grace will lead me on. When